This podcast is a production of East Texas Broadcasting. Find more at easttexasradio.com.
Welcome to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting, where we talk about people who make this a great place to live. Here's your host, Eric Kaufman.
Our guest this morning, Dr. Amanda Green, Chief Medical Officer, Paris Regional Medical Center, and Amanda, I always write down your titles, but the health district, a medical director of the Paris-Lamar Health District.
Yes, sir. That's
okay.
Right.
All right, good. All right. I should have that. I have the first part I have memorized. It's the health district part. All right. Enough messing about because Omicron is for real as far as spread goes, isn't it?
Yes. It is super infectious. And I think the numbers that are being reported are super high, but there's a lot of variables that they're even higher than what we've got, because we've got A, people who aren't even testing, who recognize they have a cold and just aren't testing. B, there's ones that are doing the home testing and that's not included. And then C, a lot of our doctor's offices, those numbers aren't being reported out anymore. Like, at least they're not going through Gina. I don't know if they go to the state one, but she hasn't been getting the 20 a day in different PCP offices that I know are happening because doctors are reaching out to me. So it's probably, a third, if not much less than what is actually in our community right now, what's being reported.
Right. I mean, and you can just base that. There's a lot of data to support what you say, besides the other factors that you just gave, the non-reporting.
Right.
I just read Los Angeles County, and granted, that's 7 million people live in Los Angeles County, but they're doing over 37,000 new cases a day.
Right.
It's just incredible. And knowing that there's also a shortage of testing, and like, we had an incident with an employee in the building and he needed a test, and there was a 2-day wait at the COVID center.
Right.
And it's good. And let's talk about home tests a little bit, because I've heard some things about home tests. How accurate are they?
Well, they're okay, especially when you have a high, what they call a pretest probability. When you're pretty sure you have it and you're just confirming it, it's a pretty good test. What we have seen, what's been reported and Gina has confirmed locally, is that with this one, early on, the tests are not very good for Omicron, whether it's just because of what's on the surface of it isn't picking up as well on the test. But this, if it is Omicron, whatever variant we have circling through our community out now, we assume it is, it can have, especially early on, a lot of false negatives. So it's hard, even though you have a negative test, you may still have it. And the gist of that is, whether you test or not, if you have any symptoms at all, whether it's allergy, cold, flu, whatever you think you have, please wear a mask to not give it to somebody else right now, because that's what it looks like when you get Omicron is, oh, it's just my allergies are bad today. So please just wear a mask to avoid spreading it.
Yeah, we've instituted some new policies here in our building. And I mean, it comes with complete with full staff eye roll. But compliance, and the eye roll is that, all of us are just so over this.
I know. Like, yeah, I don't want to, as the health district person, I don't want to be that way, but I think we're all that way. I mean, I think we're at the point that we kind of talked about before, where I think we're all going to get it eventually. And for most of us, it will seem like a common cold. I think Omicron is going to be that turning point, just because people who are already vaccinated are having breakthrough infections. People who have already been infected with COVID are getting it again. I mean, it's just, this one's so infectious. They're comparing it to the measles. But I think I could go to a measles party and not get it as easy as people are getting COVID.
I don't even want to think about the fact that there probably really are measles parties. I know there's chickenpox parties, so why not?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of that, I kind of want to do kind of a basic science lesson right here, because here's an argument I've had with, and this is where the anti-vaxxers are going to, if they were listening to start with, they're going to, so bye y'all. We're going to talk about you when you're gone. The argument is, what they're saying is, now see, you've had the shot and you're boosted and now you can still catch it, so the shot's no good. And I would argue that point for a minute about the fact that, the odds are very, very good that I'm not going to die if I get it. And, they're also pretty decent that I'm only going to get mildly sick if I get sick at all. There's a chance that I can just be a spreader.
Right. So vaccination is still important. Exactly what you said. One, you viral shed for less. So even if you get it, you probably aren't even going to know you have it or have symptoms for like a day. Symptoms are much shortened, similar to why we get a flu vaccine, mm-hmm. and you're shedding for a much shorter period of time. So just for community, being good to your neighbor, that's wise. You'll shed shorter, and for yourself, you'll be sick less time, even if it has a breakthrough. And just like you said, in terms of who we're seeing hospitalized and who we're seeing intubated and who we see die, it's still the unvaccinated. The people who come in the hospital, we do have some that are coming in vaccinated, but they're generally older people. Their oxygen's a little lower than we would like it to be to just send them home with some oxygen. We watch them for a day or two and they're able to go home. Those are the vaccinated folks. I admitted a woman the other night who I kind of assumed was vaccinated and kind of telling the family, okay, hopefully after a few days we'll be able to get her oxygen down. I said, you're vaccinated, right? And she's not. And then that just changed my mind. You know, I had a mask on, so hopefully my face didn't reveal this to them, but I just felt like I just had a drop in my chest. No, this lady could go on to have to be intubated, and in a few weeks, this family's making a decision about to take her off the ventilator or not. Right. You know, that's the turn with someone being vaccinated in my head right now and not vaccinated in my head. It's just the dread that this person in their 80s could pass away versus I felt pretty confident they wouldn't if they had been vaccinated.
Right. Okay, the science lesson is, and this is what I've started saying as an argument instead of the other thing, which is, like you said, it's correct. That there would the odds of there being an Omicron that would break that caused me to have a breakthrough case would be very low if we had gotten to 75% vaccinated people by, like, say, July, last July, because the availability of this virus to spread still through the unvaccinated people is allowing it to mutate. Correct?
That's true. But I don't think we can blame Omicron on the proportion that's unvaccinated at this point. I read an article and I read it to my family. It was so interesting to me. Omicron is so different from all the other variants at this point. There's 35 different variances in the proteins on the spike protein, in the markers on the spike protein. So for that many for it to be that different, they say it's either a virus that, like, people gave to an animal, like, and then an animal gave us back to it. Like, the animal ran around with it for a really long time. It had to happen in one host is basically what they're saying. So either an animal, or they said, since it came from South Africa initially, at least that's where he first tested it, they postulate that someone like with HIV, who's living with HIV, whose immune system isn't quite right, but they never got sick enough to be really sick, but it stayed in their system long enough that it swirled around in there and their body messed with it some, and it kept mutating in one person. That's how they postulate Omicron came out, because it's so weird. So in this case, I don't blame the people who didn't get vaccinated. Okay. The only thing I blame is to be unvaccinated, the weight of trying to still take care of this disease on society right now. Just that it's so much more expensive. It's so harder to take care of people who did not get vaccinated. And it was so easy just to get a shot and not have to put yourself and the healthcare system through that. That's the only place where I have a tiny bit of bitterness anymore.
Well, I got one more that I think you're going to have a real reaction to, because I heard this from two different people today in two different conversations, and I don't think we've ever discussed it, because I know it's been a thing for a while. Do you guys, when somebody's admitted to the hospital for, say, a broken leg, do you guys also mark them as having COVID-19 so the hospital can make money?
No.
You've heard that. I know you've heard that.
Well, you know, I've heard that people say we overestimate the numbers to make money.
Right.
And so the first piece of that, why do we make more money on a COVID case? So for certain patients who are covered by insurance, yes, there is a 20% upcharge for people who are in the hospital with COVID. Now, the reasoning for that is the amount of time and work and the length of stay that person's in the hospital, and all the equipment that we have to use to keep people in isolation, keep them safe, and the medications we use that are extremely expensive. And that, you know, again, the patient's not necessarily paying that. If the insurance pays it, it's way more than 20% what we're spending. But that's how they're trying to give it to reimburse hospitals for having patients with COVID who stay so much longer and are so much sicker. We have to have a positive test result that's a true positive, and they have to have the symptoms. So we don't get that upcharge unless someone truly has it.
Right.
You know, I know some people said that the tests were made to be positive or something. You know, when a week ago when Omicron hit our community, our lab questioned, do we have a good batch of tests? Because, you know, we've been kind of running, everybody's kind of turning, you know, everybody's negative for a long time. Even if they had symptoms, they had a cold or something else and they were negative for COVID. All of a sudden, all the tests were positive. Like 90% of the tests run in our hospital were positive. But it's because we truly had COVID in the community at that level again. It wasn't because we have tests that are triggered to go off or anything like that. You know, just the conspiracy theory to think that, I mean, it's honestly just so much more work and exhaustion mentally and physically to think people have COVID. I wish people could understand the healthcare system. Like, we're so over it. No one wants this to happen. No one is making money on this. It's just it's a headache for everyone in different ways.
I am a supporter. Now, you as a responsible management person at the hospital would not agree with this, but I've seen a bunch of people say this, and I always kind of nod my head yes, that the biggest conspiracy theorists and spreaders of misinformation should have to spend a week working in a COVID ward at a hospital.
Yeah, I do think that a little bit, but the ones who have their heels dug in enough, I mean, I've had family members who have their loved one passing away in the ICU of COVID, refusing to allow us to say they're dying of COVID, just say it's a viral pneumonia. Like, they're still not vaccinated. They aren't going to get vaccinated. Like, as they watch their loved one die, they still are right there in that mindset. So if you go through that and you don't change your mind, I don't know
right. What
else. I don't know that volunteering for a week would help.
Well, okay. That's true. That's
but
probably true.
It is very painful. Yeah. I feel so bad for people. Yeah. It's got to be a bad mindset to be in. I don't know.
And it's just the mental gymnastics of it all. It's just so, that's exhausting. I did notice a story the other day. And by the way, anytime I say I notice a story, there are three major newspapers I read every day that have actual reporters. And so that's, I mean, I do watch some television, and there's only a couple of three doctors that I really pay attention to when they're on TV, mostly because they're in the trenches. Mm-hmm. But I did notice that positivity rates went up in hospitals, that the hospital numbers were kind of wonky for a minute with Omicron because patients were testing positive that were there for something else, were in fact testing positive. So they were hospitalized for something else, and somehow or another they caught COVID.
Right, right. So that's true. So when the community prevalence seems lower, when we have June, when we had a brief honeymoon period from this and not everybody was infected, we turn off checking everyone that gets admitted. So when things are really bad and we have a high, again, pretest probability, we anticipate people are going to have COVID, we test everyone coming in that's going to be admitted to the hospital. The reason for that is that the person who did just break their leg, because everyone has COVID, might have COVID, and we need to know that to protect our other patients and our team members. So we test everyone coming into a bed when things are like they are right now, because we need to know who's carrying COVID in their nose so that our nurses don't go take care of them without protective equipment on and then go take care of the cancer patient next door. So yes, in that case, someone with a broken leg, we do say they have COVID, but they truly do have COVID and they truly do need to be isolated from everybody else. So that does increase your numbers, but it is a true reflection of the number of admissions, and they do require more work, and they do, just having COVID, even if you're asymptomatic and you come in with something else, those people do worse than people who don't have COVID. So we need to know that, and it does affect how well you're going to do from even an elective surgery.
Let's talk about the arc of this spike by all accounts. And I know it's still, I mean, as compared to the numbers in the United States of America, the numbers like in South Africa with Omicron, the spike didn't last as long. And so now they're extrapolating here and saying basically 2 to 4 weeks.
Right.
Do you see data that supports that like maybe even with the patients getting over it faster?
It's hard to say. We're right in the middle of it right now. Certainly if you took our team members as a snapshot of society, our vaccinated team members seem to get it. They're positive, but then they're fine after a day or two. And so I do hope that that is what we see in our community. I mean, truly, everybody seems to have it right now. I don't know how many more people are going to get it in the next few weeks. You know, what's going to be our tipping point? But wherever it's a very sharp, high peak, wherever, I don't know where we are on the upside down V, but when we get to that high peak, then I think they say that the hospitals after, you know, we said before, 9 to 10 days after knowing you have an infection is when you start to go down. If you're going to go down, you get that inflammatory response. You know, people are like, oh, they were getting better, but then they got really sick. Well, that's all those inflammatory markers kicking in the gear that no matter what we give outpatients get it anyway. So those are the people that get hospitalized. So it's a 9 to 10 days. So 2 weeks off from when you get that peak is when they think hospitalizations are going to be really bad, because that's when those people are going to get really sick. So, and that's where, again, vaccination keeps that from happening usually. So, it's probably a 6 week swing up and down, and, you know, deaths always come a month or so after that, because that's how long it takes to talk to the families and have them removed from the ventilator when they're not going to get better. Thank goodness we don't have a lot of people in that position right now. So, yeah, well, I think that probably it will be here, but we don't know.
And percent to total, this is hospitalizing, since it is sort of a milder version, it is hospitalizing so far less people percentage-wise than the other variants.
Definitely.
Okay.
I would say so, for whatever reason, whether our bodies are used to it, whether it's less bad. You know, we kind of talked about before, eventually what I saw happening here was a regular coronavirus, it turns into a common cold that's maybe just super infectious. And hopefully it will quit being this great mimicker and quit causing people to have strokes and heart attacks and weird neuropathies and then these long-haul chronic fatigue symptoms. You know, I don't know if something like Omicron is going to have as many long symptoms as the other variants had. We don't know that yet. So,
no COVID toe.
You know, yeah, COVID toes. Exactly.
okay. Let's back up on the side of like caution, because I think this is what's going on. And you said it early on in this interview, allergies or cold. Let's just say you think you're getting a cold and you don't feel good and you just got cold symptoms. How important is it for you to, regardless of your testing, getting a test or whatever, how important is it for you to call in sick to work that day? Or I mean, I know that some people, for money-wise, that makes it hard if they don't have sick time, but whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, you could end up, and we've already seen it happen with whole shifts at fast food places, you know, having to close down, you could end up closing down your business because you go to work with what you think is a cold.
Right. Yeah, it's so hard, especially when we've had the weather like we've had, where it's been hot and then cold. Most of us get a little bit of a runny nose with things like that. You know, cedar berries are blooming. You know, I mean, it's hard because all the other things that make your nose run this time of year, that's what is happening. But that's the same thing that Omicron is doing, is just a little bit of a runny nose, maybe a cough, you feel like I have a cold. So it's so hard to tell. You could definitely, it's so infectious. If you go into work, particularly without a mask, you're going to take down everybody with you. Now, if everybody's wearing a mask in a workplace, and that's why I've asked people just in January to please wear a mask as if you're working at the hospital. I know no one wants to do it, but that's the way to keep this from pinging back and forth and taking out healthcare, taking out workers, places we like to go. I want the economy to be good is why I'm asking people to wear a mask. It's an easy thing to do.
Right.
And if people went to work, I'm not encouraging this, but this is what's happening in reality. But if people have symptoms and are still going to work, please just wear a mask. I mean, it really will reduce what's coming out of you a good bit. And eat lunch alone. Don't sit in the small lunchroom with everybody else and take your mask off. Like, be very vigilant while you have symptoms. And just leave a mask on to avoid getting other people sick and making it where your business can't operate for 5 to 10 days.
Forever, up until, all the way up until the report they got to 123 cases here, which we were up from 60-something cases. And I realized that it was probably here. I only wore my mask when I went to Kroger or Walmart, which are the only bigger stores I really ever go into. If I went into the convenience store, I didn't really put my mask. I am back to wearing my mask every time I get out of my car to go into any place.
Yeah. I mean, I never quit because just optics with being the health district person, I felt like I mean, even if I'm the last girl standing, I'm going to keep doing it. But, you know, I think that how likely is it that you're going to walk through a waft of someone who just coughed in an aisle in a store you're in? I don't know how likely it is, but, and if you're wearing a mask, does it really help you if it gets in your eyes or something? I don't know. But definitely if you're wearing one, if you have it and don't know it, you're protecting other people again. So I think that it's about being, again, if you have any symptoms, please do it. I took my daughter turned 16 yesterday. Yay. We went to the DMV and someone came in just hawking their lungs out without a mask on in the DMV. And I'm like, why would you not just, when you got a bad cough, please just wear a mask. Like, I could just imagine the what was hanging in the air after this person had their coughing
exactly.
fit.
You know, they, and early on in the pandemic, you know, they did those slow motion videos with the backlight. And do you remember that with the spray from the cough and a sneeze and everything else? Ridiculous.
Yeah. So if you're doing it a lot, please just wear a mask and protect other people and keep other people working and keep kids in school and keep our world going like we want it to.
I like it. Let's just all decide to wear a mask for the month of January. It's not a big ask. Yeah. It's not like at the beginning of this when it was just like constant all the time for months. Let's just say if you've taken it off, let's put it back on for the rest of this month, which is 24 more days.
That's right. And it's like, what is it? No Shave November. Just, you know, wear your mask January.
I like it. Because then, guess what? Then Valentine's Day comes and you can kiss whoever you want.
That's right.
Well, okay, wait. That didn't come out right. You can kiss whoever you want that wants to be kissed.
That's right. Eventually.
Okay. Ooh. I don't want to get turned into HR.
That's right.
Okay, so as far as that goes, I think we've covered that, other than get your vaccination. Now, there's a wait for tests, at least as of right now, at the health district. Is it a separate process if you want to get vaccinated, get a booster? Is that still a pretty easy process? You can get in, get it done, and get out?
Yes, and I want to apologize to anyone who's tried to go by and it's been closed. The health department has humans running it, and there have been several COVID infections and exposures there. So like yesterday when I took, Gina told me that I should be referred to CPS because my daughter did her driving test and passed it. And then I took her to go get a shot. So we went by and they were closed, but I could see people inside there, but I know people. So I called, I'm like, hey, what's going on? They said, oh, since people called out, like they came out and gave us our shots. But it's been a little sketchy, hit or miss going. It should be between 7:30 and 6 Monday through Thursday. You should be able to just walk in and get a vaccine.
I did. When I got my first, I got my booster and it was like 5 minutes total.
Yeah, it's so fast. Like it's and whether it's your first, second, your booster, it's really easy when they've got it open. And it may be Monday or Tuesday, hopefully we'll be back to having the front door open. You call for a test and you have to schedule a test and you wait in your car and they come do it for you. But if you just walk up to the door and go in and get your vaccine. So that's pretty easy.
Let's look ahead to 2022 and say this might be, it could be, possibly be, the last big speed bump in COVID. We don't know. Hopefully we can kind of level off and get back to what the last normal was, which was last summer. What about, like, things that you want in 2022? As far as like walk with the doc and different things like that, what are some things that you're hoping to get done this year?
Yeah, well, I think I've talked before about the community garden. Yes. I'm hoping that we can spiff that up in spring and really get some more activities around that. We've had lots of partners with that, the Health for You, the United Way, the hospital, of course, lots of, I know I'm probably leaving somebody out, but so many people have been so instrumental in helping us with that. And that's such a positive thing. So I hope that we can do more there. Walk with the Doc, we're still doing the fourth Thursday. We meet over in the pavilion too, in the little lobby there. We have a little talk from a doctor at about 11:45 and then we walk. We're probably not going to do it in January with Omicron. I just don't want an excuse for people to have to be close around each other. But do it on your own. It's good for you. And then we'll do it probably starting back in February. And also our employee health person is super busy with everybody with COVID right now. And she's the one who helps me do that. Health for You is really expanded at the health district. You know, again, I meant to start doing some little like 1 minute blurbs and I just haven't, if I don't have Savannah videoing me, I'm not very good at making a video. So, I wanted to just do like 1 minute things, one a day about healthy lifestyles. And Health for You has a little gym there now. It's completely free. You just call the health district, you make an appointment with them. They give you healthy menu ideas. They have food there to show you what you can buy or give you things and put you on a healthy strategy. You know, if you've got chronic disease, they talk about how to manage that. Smoking cessation, they help with that. So doing all the things that make you healthier. And that's a free resource there if you can make time to go do that. Those are the main like just community health things I know going on. United Way has several things they're doing. There's a lot of little free libraries going up, both for books and for food around the community. They had Atmos gave them a lot of funding for that. So those are going up. So those are exciting. Just the usual things I'm on, the St. Joseph Community Foundation, lots of good educational grants and grants for healthcare going on. We're talking about starting some programs to recruit young people that are interested in medical careers, not necessarily wanting to be doctors, but definitely that, but also CRNAs or physical therapists, and really start at middle school and start mentoring those students. So once we can get back in the schools, we're really excited about starting some programming around that. So just lots of positive things whenever we can put our attention back on that and not have to worry about, you know, testing and vaccinations and Omicron spiking. So,
well, here's to that. Let's hope that this is a short-lived spike like they think it's going to be.
Yeah, I hope so. And maybe this will be it. Maybe everybody will get infected this round. And we'll all have both our vaccinated and our natural immunity and just sail through the rest of 2022. So
I think we're finally going to get herd immunity with this. Because you said, I think everybody's
we'll hit the proportion.
Get it. Yeah.
If you leave your house, you probably have COVID right now.
Wear your mask. Wear your mask January. We're going to make it a thing.
That's right.
Amanda, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again. Hopefully we'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Red River Valley Today, a public service of East Texas Broadcasting. If you have suggestions for a guest, email eric@easttexasradio.com. That's eric@easttexasradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, right here on Red River Valley Today.
This podcast is a production of East Texas Broadcasting. Find more at easttexasradio.com.